What if every weather forecast came with a second document that explained exactly how confident the forecaster was, which computer models they trusted, and where the biggest uncertainties were hiding? And what if that document was completely free, available on the same website where you pull your briefing, and most student pilots had never once clicked on it? I'm Pattern, you're on Traffic Pattern on Radio Hangar, and today I want to walk you through the area forecast discussion. By the time we're done, you're going to look at your pre-flight weather briefing differently. Before we get into it, quick word for our friends at aviationsoul.com. They make challenge coins for every step of the journey. Got your first solo? There's a coin for that. Private pilot, instrument, commercial, they've got all of it. Real milestones deserve something you can hold in your hand. aviationsoul.com. All right, let's set up why this matters with a scenario most pilots will recognize. You're planning a cross-country for Saturday? Wednesday afternoon, you check the Terminal Aerodrome Forecast, or TAF, for your destination. It reads sky condition 1000 overcast, visibility 3 miles, mist, low IFR, not flying that Thursday morning. You check again. The TAF now shows ceiling 3000 broken, visibility 5 miles. Marginal visual flight rules, or VFR. Interesting. Friday, it updates again. Ceiling 4500, scattered visibility 7 miles. That's VFR. Trip is on. Here's the question nobody asks. How confident is the forecaster in Friday's TAF? Is that 4,500 ceiling locked in? Or is it the average of a spread that runs from 2,000 to 7,000 feet, depending on which model you believe? Is this a high confidence call or an educated best guess? The TAF won't tell you, the Area Forecast Discussion will. The Area Forecast Discussion, or AFD, is a text product issued by National Weather Service, or NWS, forecast offices. Think of it as the meteorologist's reasoning document. The TAF is the conclusion. The AFD is the logic that got them there. It was originally written for meteorologists communicating with other meteorologists. Internal shorthand, scientific language, competing model interpretations spelled out side by side. For a long time, pilots mostly skipped it because it felt like it was written in a foreign language. Honestly, parts of it are, but once you know what to look for, it becomes the most honest weather document you have access to. Here's how to find it. Go to aviationweather.gov and look for products by type. You want the Area Forecast Discussion. In ForeFlight, you can find it under Weather Products. Each NWS office issues one for their region, so you want the office that covers your route. If you're flying through the Southeast, you might be looking at the Birmingham or Jacksonville office, AFD. Pacific Northwest, Seattle or Portland, a route that crosses multiple regions might mean pulling more than one. These get updated several times a day, usually timed around forecast package releases. Now, the AFD is broken into sections, and understanding the structure matters. The first section is usually labeled synopsis. This is the big picture. What's the dominant pattern? Where's the upper-level trough? Where's the ridge of high pressure? This section tells you what the atmosphere is doing at the macro scale. Good for understanding why you're going to see what you see over the next few days. Here's something I wish someone had told me when I was training. The synopsis section will often mention competing models. You'll see references to the GFS, which is the global forecast system run by the NWS, and the EURO, which is the European Center for Medium-Range Weather, forecast model. When those two models agree, forecast confidence is generally higher. When they disagree, the forecaster had to make a judgment call, and the confidence is lower. The AFD tells you which way they went and why. That is priceless. You won't find that in a TAF. The next sections break the forecast into time periods. Near term is typically the next 12 to 24 hours. Short term carries it out to about 3 days. Long term goes further. And many AFDs, especially from offices that serve busy aviation corridors, have a dedicated aviation section at the end that addresses ceiling, visibility, convective potential, and icing directly. Let me give you a concrete example of how this changes a real briefing. Suppose you're flying VFR tomorrow morning. The TAF says ceiling 4,000 broken, visibility 8 miles. That's fine, you'd probably file and go. But you pull up the AFD and you read something like this, and I'm paraphrasing the language you'd actually see. Marine layer showing more persistence than models indicated overnight. GFS and EURO both trending toward higher ceilings by mid-morning, but agreement breaks down on timing. Confidence is low on how quickly boundary layer mixing will erode low-level moisture. We'll monitor trends. Do you hear what that's saying? The forecaster is telling you that 4,000-foot ceiling is not a sure thing. The models disagree on when the marine layer burns off. If the burn-off runs late, you might be looking at something lower than the TAF suggests when you try to depart. That's not a reason to cancel. That's a reason to check the updated TAF the night before and again in the morning. to know what reports to monitor, and to have a solid alternate in your back pocket. The AFD just turned a routine weather briefing into an informed one. Let me talk about reading the language, because the terminology can trip up pilots who are new to this product. The NWS uses probability language that has specific meaning. When you see the word likely in an AFD, that generally means 60% probability or higher. Chance is roughly 30 to 50%. Slight chance is below 30. These are not casual words. So when an AFD says convective development likely during the afternoon hours, that is a different statement than convective development possible. One means probably. The other means maybe. For a VFR pilot planning a late afternoon departure in convective season, that distinction is everything. You'll also see model disagreement spelled out explicitly. When a forecaster writes leaning toward the GFS solution over the Euro given upstream trough timing, they're telling you there's a fork in the road and here's which way they went. That tells you something about the reliability of the forecast. High model agreement is a more confident forecast. Low model agreement is a forecast with real uncertainty baked in. You'll see references to soundings, which are vertical atmospheric profiles from weather balloons. When you see morning sounding showing a capping inversion, the forecaster is describing a layer of warm air above a cooler surface layer that suppresses convective development. A strong cap keeps afternoon buildups from becoming thunderstorms. A weak cap lets them break through. This directly affects whether the pilot reports or PIREPs you check later in the day are going to show smooth cumulus or mature cells. I know some of that sounds heavy. Here's the practical takeaway, and this is what matters for the airman certification standards. You don't need to be a meteorologist to use the AFD. You need to be able to identify the confidence level behind the forecast you're basing your decision on. Scan for high confidence language. Models in excellent agreement. Confidence is high. Those are forecasts you can lean on with a reasonable degree of trust. Scan for uncertainty language. Model spread remains large. Confidence is low. Timing uncertain. We'll continue to monitor. Those are forecasts that warrant lower personal minimums, more frequent updates before departure, and a genuine alternate plan. The go-no-go decision the ACS requires you to make well. The AFD is one of the tools that makes it an informed decision rather than a gut feeling. Let me talk about when the AFD pays off most, because it's not equally valuable every day. On a high-pressure, clear day when every model agrees and the pattern is textbook stable, the AFD is going to be short and confident, basically says nice weather, enjoy it. You can skim it in 30 seconds and move on, but on marginal days, on frontal passage days, on convective season afternoons when there's instability in the atmosphere, on coastal fog days where the question is timing of burn-off, on any day where the TEF could plausibly be off by 1,000 feet or 2 miles of visibility, the AFD is the document that tells you how much uncertainty is baked into that forecast. Radiation fog and marine layer fog are two of the hardest weather phenomena to forecast precisely. Timing depends on small-scale factors that numerical models don't resolve well. A good forecaster will say this explicitly in the AFD. Fog timing sensitive to overnight wind speeds, low confidence on burn-off timing. That is not a failure of the forecast. That is honest meteorology, and a pilot who reads it knows to keep monitoring rather than assume the TAF is locked in. I hear the objection sometimes, pattern, I already check MATARs or meteorological aerodrome reports and TAFs and winds aloft and PIREPs. When do I find time to read an AFD? Fair question. 90 seconds? That's the answer? Once you're familiar with the format, you're not reading the whole thing for a meteorology lesson. You're scanning for confidence signals. Is there model disagreement? Is there a timing uncertainty flag? Is the aviation section raising any specific concerns? 90 seconds per briefing? That's the investment. You can find the AFD on aviationweather.gov under Text Products. ForeFlight surfaces it in weather products. And here's something a lot of pilots don't know. If you're calling Leidos Flight Service for a standard briefing, you can ask the briefer directly about forecast confidence. They're weather professionals, and they can speak to how solid the ceiling forecast is, whether there's model disagreement on convective timing, and what products they're watching most closely for your route. The briefing doesn't have to be a one-way information dump. You're allowed to ask questions. Let me do one more scenario before we close, because I want this to land as a practical tool, convective season. 2-hour cross-country, departing at local noon. The TAF at your destination has a tempo group showing cumulonimbus, reduced visibility in thunderstorms, possible between 1,300 and 2,000 Zulu. You're departing at 1,700 Zulu, right in the middle of that window. You could look at that tempo group and think, temporary conditions aren't guaranteed? Maybe it clears up? Let me go and see? Or you could read the AFD. Convective potential high for the afternoon period. Deep moisture and sufficient instability. Cap should break by mid-afternoon with rapid initiation likely. High confidence on convective activity across the area. Lower confidence on individual cell tracks and timing. High confidence on convective activity. That tempo group is not a maybe anymore. The forecaster thinks the storms are happening. The uncertainty is in the details, not in whether the convection occurs. That's a different go-no-go calculation. It might not change your answer, but it changes the quality of the decision. Weather has taken pilots who thought they understood the forecast. Not because they were careless, because they didn't know how uncertain the forecast was. The area forecast discussion is the document that tells you what the TAF cannot. Information today comes from the National Weather Service and their public weather products documentation and aviationweather.gov. More at radiohangar.com. I'm Pattern. See you in the Pattern.